The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various websites the latest that is happening. Continuing on from last week's episode, from HelenKeller.org, there was a list of technologies that is available at CSUN. Dream Vision shows off a dream display. HelpTech, formerly known as HandyTech, is a German company that has manufactured Braille displays for more than 30 years. Their reseller in the United States is the Dream Vision Group. One of their unique selling points has always been active tactile control, which allows the user to continue reading without having to press a button to advance the display. They have continued to evolve, with their latest available offering being the Activator Pro lineup. Though this is not a new device, it has continued to evolve since its release. The Activator Pro comes in 64 and 80 cell variants. It also has the aforementioned active tactile control, and I was impressed with this as a Braille workstation. One of the most interesting features is Active Split. This feature allows you to view two connected devices at once. From my perspective, this is a huge leap forward. Since I can, for example, have half of the display showing me the contents of my PC and the other half my iPhone. As someone struggling to hear speech, this means that in a Zoom meeting, I can have the same display actively connected to both the device receiving my captions and the Zoom meeting itself. Currently, if I wish to participate in a Zoom meeting, I have to change Bluetooth channels on my Braille display to the Zoom window, and then raise my hand and shift back to the other device to read the captions. I once again have to shift back to the Zoom window to unmute my audio, say whatever I'm going to say, and then mute and lower my hand before switching back to captioning. Since both screens exist on the same device and are working in real time, this could dramatically increase a Braille user's productivity on Zoom meetings. While Zoom has its own version of captions, it is still quite difficult to read and navigate around them with the Braille display. The user is not limited to an even split of their cells. It is also possible to configure the division as the user wishes. Finally, if the Bluetooth connection is of concern, the Activator Pros have a USB-C port on each side, so the user can choose a hardware connection if desired. In addition to the QWERTY keyboard, the Activator Pro models have other keys designated as F13 through F24. These keys can be used for other functions chosen by the user. It is also possible to drag and drop text from one connected device to the other through a feature called Braille Shot. What this allows, as an example, is for the user to take information out of a chat window on their iPhone and paste it onto their PC. The 64-cell option sells for $10,500, while the 80-cell model costs $12,700. There have also been updates to the Activator 40, a Braille display with both a QWERTY and Perkins-style keyboard. Active Split is also available on that device with a firmware upgrade. Users will be able to update their activators through the iOS app as well as through the PC once this update is installed. Speaking of connecting, the new Smart Dock for iOS devices is now shipping with a USB-C port. If users who purchased the original Smart Dock wish to upgrade from Lightning to USB-C, there is a $200 charge. Echo Vision from Agiga. Smart glasses are not new by any means. There are several products on the market which are wearables that can help describe what's in one's environment. While many people have apps on their smartphones, the fact is that many feel there is not a solution which is hands-free for blind users, or one hand-free for deaf-blind users. While AI-based scene descriptions are nothing new for those who have vision loss, devices that specialize in working with those who have vision loss have been quite expensive. Agiga plans to offer a pair of smart glasses that not only look like standard sunglasses, but which are smarter than those of its predecessors. For example, the Meta smart glasses will summarize a menu based on the picture, whereas Echo Vision will have the ability to read the entire document without having to ask the glasses several different ways to do so. As someone with limited use of the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses who argues with them for this task, that would be a very welcome change. These glasses will also offer the option of calling a visual interpreter slash volunteer like the Meta-Ray-Ban smart glasses through Be My Eyes and Aira. I make this comparison between Echo Vision and the Meta-Ray-Ban smart glasses as the Ray-Ban smart glasses priced starting at $349 are the closest price point to what Echo Vision will charge. I was able to have a demo of the Echo Vision glasses and found the features I checked out to be very useful. The Echo Vision glasses also can provide detailed descriptions of people. Another feature was continuous scene description. This allows the user to walk down the sidewalk and receive descriptions of objects and people nearby, as well as the general environment. For example, it would tell the user that there is grass off to the left, that someone is several feet away at their 2 o'clock position, and so forth. Unlike the Celeste glasses, which are no longer being developed and which frequently crashed, this was not my experience with Echo Vision. The glasses were stable for the entire demonstration. It was neat to look around and understand things in my surroundings. My home is in a suburban location, and there is a lot of activity in the summertime with birds, squirrels, the occasional fox, the obligatory barking dog, and many other happenings. I would really enjoy using the continuous scene description to find out what is going on in my yard. As a mostly Braille user, it would be fantastic to be able to sit outside on a warm afternoon and read in Braille what activities are happening at my house. Echo Vision would be the first to implement this in some way if they choose to do so. Although there is not currently access to Braille support, the CEO and I discussed this at some length, and I was told that they would look into adding this after the initial launch. I was able to follow the audio with the speakers being positioned just right of my hearing aids. The version of the glasses I used did not have Bluetooth support, but I was told that it is compatible with some brands of hearing aids along with Bluetooth speakers. Giga is taking pre-orders for their product now for $449, though the product will cost $559 once pre-orders end. As of now, they are offering a free lifetime subscription to those who pre-order, and the first year is expected to be free for new users. Meta's offering does not require a subscription. Ending with a warm note with Clix Therapy, that's CLIX. Living in the north for most people is not fun during the winter. For Braille users in particular, this can inhibit our ability to read, since cold hands are a bit like blurry eyes. Clix Therapy offers a range of reusable heat packs designed for various body parts, providing targeted relief through an electricity-free heating mechanism. These packs contain a solution of salt and water, sodium acetate. When the internal metal disc, also part of the heating pack, is flexed until it clicks, it triggers a chemical reaction that rapidly heats the pack to approximately 130 degrees Fahrenheit, 54 degrees centigrade. The heat duration varies by product size and usage, typically lasting between 30 to 70 minutes. Once the soft chemicals harden in the pack, the heating will slowly fade. After that time, you boil the pack in water for a few minutes and let it cool. For those with vision, the crystals dissolve and the solution becomes clear. For those of us using our hands, I've found that boiling them in water for 10 minutes seems to be effective when working with two warmers. Tip for deafblind users, to determine whether water is boiling, you can hold your hand in the pan's handle to feel the vibration of the bubbling water. After they have boiled and then cooled, the heating packs are ready to use again. For me, the hand warmers are good for when my hands get too cold to read Braille. The only trick is to find the metal disc to squeeze to activate, though I found it easier to do once I had located the disc a few times. The 4-pack of hand warmers costs $49. It has been my experience, though, limited at this time, that the hand warmers last between 30 to 45 minutes before cooling, depending on the environment you use them in. They have solutions for feet and other body parts as well. Conclusion. Each year at CSUN, we get a glimpse into what the future of accessibility could look like. Whether it's innovative Braille displays, new audio products, or wearables that describe the world in real time, the ingenuity on display is exciting. Though many products are still in development and not yet usable by everyone, the progress being made is encouraging. As someone deeply connected to the deafblind community, I leave this year's conference with renewed hope that greater access and usability are not only possible, they're already underway. Moving on to a job opening at disabilityrightsnc.org. Seeking Development Officer, Contract, published November 24th. The Development Officer, Organization Description. Disability Rights North Carolina, DRNC, a 501c3 nonprofit, is the only organization that provides free legal advocacy services to people with all types of disabilities of all ages throughout North Carolina. We are the state's designated protection and advocacy agency and a recognized leader in advancing disability rights with a strong staff and supportive dynamic work environment. DRNC is well established and positioned for growth. Learn more at www.disabilityrightsnc.org. Job description. The development officer plays a central role in advancing DRNC's mission by helping strengthen and expand our fundraising program. This position supports the director of development and communications in driving donor engagement, broadening our sense of philanthropic partners, and embedding strong fundraising practices across the organization. The development officer will lead and collaborate on donor cultivation, giving campaigns and public events. The successful candidate will excel at people-centered relationship building and detail-oriented systems work and will be motivated to help our mission-driven organization grow its impact. This is a hybrid, primarily remote contract position that requires regular in-person work for events and direct engagement with staff and donors. Key responsibilities. Under the supervision of the Director of Development and Communications, the Development Officer will focus on fund growth, relationship building, and stewardship. Essential duties include fund development, research, identify, cultivate, and steward donors and philanthropic partners, facilitate staff and board involvement in development activities, communications, design and management, direct mail and email campaigns, web and most social media appeals, and other donor outreach to increase giving and engagement. Fundraising events and campaigns. Assist with planning and managing fundraising events, including annual conferences, webinars, and other events, including logistics, sponsorships, and marketing materials. Organizational support. Strengthen internal systems, processes, and data management, and embed best practices in donor relations. Reporting. Support development-related reporting and updates for leadership, board, and funders. External relations. Attend community events and meetings to share DRNC's mission, services, and funding needs. Perform other related duties as requested. Requirements. Strong commitment to DRNC's mission to advance and defend the rights of people with disabilities. Relevant experience in a development role with a proven record in fundraising, donor relations, and/or grant writing. Knowledge of fundraising techniques and tools, including donor databases and online giving platforms. Demonstrated ability to mobilize staff, board, and community connections to strengthen donor outreach and fundraising efforts. Strong organizational skills and attention to detail. Excellent verbal and written communication skills. Collaborative, self-directed, and comfortable managing multiple priorities. Bachelor's degree. Aptitude for designing print and electronic marketing materials. Proficiency with Microsoft Office Suite, payment and donor management systems, Zoom, and social media platforms. Desirable qualifications. Experience working in a nonprofit or legal services environment. Ability to communicate in ASL, Spanish, or another non-English language. Experience working with or advocating for people with disabilities. Understanding of trauma and its prevalence among people with disabilities, and an appreciation for trauma-informed approaches. Compensation. This contract position offers up to 25 hours per week at $45 to $65 per hour and will be reviewed for continuation at the end of the fiscal year, September 30, 2026. We welcome experienced candidates seeking part-time or flexible schedules, and we are open to exploring three-quarter-time or full-time options with benefits at an adjusted hourly rate. To apply, send your resume and a detailed letter of interest explaining your qualifications and interest in the position to resumes.hr@disabilityrightsnc.org. Include development officer in the subject line. No phone calls, please. Closing date, position will remain open until filled. Learn more about other careers at DRNC at the hot link. The American Council of the Blind at acb.org posted this little update. Rhode Island Court issues permanent injunction in IMLS case, posted November 25th. On November 21st, the District Court in the state of Rhode Island issued a permanent injunction in the case of IMLS versus Trump. Previously, President Trump took steps to dismantle the Institute of Museum and Library Services. The action was immediately challenged in court, where it was temporarily halted. This court ruling permanently vacates his actions. The court held that the dismantling of IMLS was unlawful, unconstitutional, and a direct violation of Congress's clear statutory directives. Repeating the announcement from 3 weeks ago on ACB.org, scholarship applications for the 2026 to 2027 school year are now open. Posted November 6th. Applications for the 2026-27 school year are open and are available for online submission from Saturday, November 1 to Saturday, February 14, 2026 at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. The American Council of the Blind's ACB scholarship program was established in 1982. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, in partnership with other organizations and individuals, offers educational scholarships ranging from $2,000 to $7,500 for entering freshmen, undergraduate and graduate students, and those attending technical college. This program awards students with scholarships to help with post-secondary education financial needs, such as tuition, fees, room and board, and other additional costs associated with assistive technology. To be eligible for a scholarship, applicants need to be legally blind, maintain a 3.0 GPA to be eligible for most scholarships, be a full-time student or a part-time student who works at least 32 hours per week, and be involved in their school and community. Scholarships are awarded to students who attend post-secondary institutions in the United States. For more information on the scholarship program, check out our scholarship page here at https://www.acb.org/scholarships. In 2025, ACB awarded over $111,400 in scholarships to 24 students. All interested candidates must register for an ACB account prior to submitting a scholarship application online. Once you have created an account with ACB, please log in, and then you can access the scholarship application from the link at the top of the site. Visit this hot link to create an account or log in. Scholarship winners will experience firsthand ACB's National Conference and Convention in July, where you will meet other students who share the same life experiences, create lasting friendships, and network with individuals who understand what you are going through and can help you with your journey. There are also many sessions where you can learn about new technology and what is happening in our community. For more information on the National Conference and Convention, visit the convention page at https://www.acb.org/convention. For additional information, please contact the ACB office at area code 612-332-3242 or call 800-866-3242 or send an email to scholarships@acb.org. We look forward to receiving your application materials. From fightingblindness.org, Sparing Vision launches clinical trial for therapy to reactivate dormant cones in advanced RP. Sparing Vision, a Paris-based company developing therapies for inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, has dosed the first patient in its Nirvana Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for SPVN20, a gene-agnostic gene therapy designed to restore cone vision for people with advanced retinitis pigmentosa, RP, and potentially other IRDs. Nirvana is spelled NYRVANA. The trial was initiated in Belgium and is expanding soon to France and Ireland. The company plans to seek clearance in 2026 to conduct the trial in the U.S. The RD Fund, the foundation's venture philanthropy arm, is an original investor in Sparing Vision. The foundation also provided significant funding to Denise Dalcara, Ph.D., Institut de la Vision, for preclinical development of an approach similar to the one used in SPVN20. The SPVN20 gene therapy is designed to reactivate dormant cones, for example, cones that haven't fully degenerated but have stopped providing visual function. Cones are the photoreceptors that provide visual acuity and color vision. Researchers have observed that many people with advanced RP, even those with low or no light perception, may have dormant cones that can be targeted by SPVN20. The SPVN20 gene therapy is delivered by a one-time injection into the vitreous, the soft gel in the middle of the eye. The gene therapy uses an adeno-associated virus, AAV, to penetrate dormant cones with a gene that expresses a protein to establish a phototransduction cascade, a biochemical process that enables cones to convert light into electrical signals. The brain uses the signals to create the images we see. The protein is known as a G-protein-gated inwardly rectifying potassium, GIRK, channel. Researchers don't believe SPVN20 will stop retinal degeneration. However, it could potentially be combined with a neuroprotective therapy, such as sparing vision's SPVN06, which is currently enrolling in the Prodigy Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial in France and the U.S. SPVN06 expresses proteins designed to preserve cones. Prodigy is spelled PRODYGY. SPVN20 is similar to, but different from, optogenetics. Current optogenetic approaches in clinical trials are gene agnostic and designed to restore vision for people with advanced vision loss. Optogenetics works by expressing light-sensing proteins called opsins in ganglion or bipolar cells, cells that survive advanced retinal disease but normally don't sense light. SPVN20 doesn't express a light-sensing opsin. Rather, it establishes a new channel that links to existing opsins in cones. Dormant cones have functional opsins, so the phototransduction cascade can be reestablished. Optogenetics has restored meaningful vision, for that is, the ability to recognize shapes and objects. Researchers believe SPVN20 may provide even better visual acuity and color perception. The launch of a clinical trial that offers the promise of reestablishing sight regardless of the IRD genetic cause is a significant milestone for Sparing Vision and the RD Fund, says Rusty Kelly, PhD, Managing Director, RD Fund. This exciting and elegant approach offers more than hope to our affected community with advanced vision loss. Also from FightingBlindness.org, posted November 13th, Foundation Fighting Blindness provides public access to data from its RUSH-2A natural history study. Dateline Columbia, Maryland. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, a driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, is now providing open access to de-identified four-year data from individuals participating in RUSH-2A, an ongoing natural history study for people with mutations on the USH2A gene causing Usher syndrome type 2A or non-syndromic retinitis pigmentosa, RP. The goal of RUSH-2A and other natural history studies sponsored by the Foundation is to enable researchers and therapy developers to identify new, sensitive, and reliable clinical trial endpoints and inform clinical trial designs for emerging inherited retinal disease, IRD, therapies. With improved endpoints and trial designs, therapy developers have a better opportunity to gain regulatory approval for their treatments. The public release of RUSH-2A data is removing barriers for everyone in the research community who is developing sight-saving therapies for inherited retinal diseases, said Todd Durham, PhD, SVP, Foundation Fighting Blindness. As the global leader in driving retinal disease research, the Foundation is uniquely empowered to launch programs like RUSH-2A, which are having a broad paradigm-changing impact on advancing more treatments toward the finishing line. The RUSH-2A study has been a cornerstone to our ongoing evaluation of how we can develop effective treatments for RUSH-2A-related conditions, said Dr. Zual Butuner, B-U-T-U-N-E-R, Chief Medical Officer, Sepul Bio, a business unit of TEA, T-H-E-A-Q-A. In an area of high unmet need, like USH2A, natural history studies can play a critical role in guiding clinical research. Incorporating key findings from the RUSH-2A study into our ongoing USH2A clinical program has enabled the Sepul Bio team to lay down the foundational roadmap towards a potential treatment effect for those individuals with RP or non-syndromic RP due to variants in exon 13 of the USH2A gene. We are proud to partner with the Foundation Fighting Blindness in leveraging the USH2A data to drive forward our USH2A program and bring innovative RNA therapies to the community as quickly and effectively as possible. USH2A has followed more than 100 USH2A patients for more than 4 years and will be extended for a total of 9 years. Investigators are collecting natural history data using several functional and structural measures, including best-corrected visual acuity, BCVA, microperimetry, full field sensitivity, optical coherence tomography, and, as part of the extension, virtual reality-based mobility. USH2A is being conducted through the Foundation's Clinical Consortium, a network of more than 40 clinical sites with standardized protocols, equipment, and clinical IRD experts. The JABE Center for Health Research is the coordinating center for the consortium. That's spelled J-A-E-B. The Foundation has invested more than $3 million in USH2A thus far. Co-funders of the study include Blue Rock Therapeutics, Restore Vision, and Sapul Bio. Instructions for requesting data access to the USH2A data set are available at https://public.jaeb.org/ffb/review/USH2A, all caps. The USH2A study investigators have published 16 peer-reviewed papers to date, and you can find those at https://public.jaeb.org/ffb/pubs. The following research paper from the journal TVST reviews 4-year results and recommendations from USH2A, endpoints and design for clinical trials in USH2A-related retinal degeneration. That's the hot link. About the Foundation. Established in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the world's leading private funding source for retinal degenerative disease research. The Foundation has raised more than $954 million toward its mission of accelerating research for preventing, treating, and curing blindness caused by the entire spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases, including retinitis pigmentosa, age-related macular degeneration, Usher syndrome, and Stargardt disease. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. Media contact Chris Adams, Vice President Marketing and Communications. See adams@fightingblindness.org. Call 410-423-0585. Also from Fighting Blindness, Best disease is a form of inherited macular degeneration, often leading to severe central vision loss. Lesions comprised of waste material accumulate in a layer of support cells known as the retinal pigment epithelium, RPE, and underneath the retina. The condition also causes microdetachments between the RPE and photoreceptors. This separation leads to loss of photoreceptors and vision. Opus Genetics launches Gene Therapy Clinical Trial for Best Disease. Opus Genetics, a biopharmaceutical company developing gene therapies for inherited retinal diseases, has dosed the first person in its BIRD-1 phase 1 and 2 gene therapy clinical trial for people with best vitelliform macular dystrophy. And that's it for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join me next time on Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.